Hi, everybody. I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is the Good Story is Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
All right. And we're going, I don't actually know where this island is, but it's it's a village, right? A Kumbalangi. Yeah. And so the movie is Kumbalangi Nights.
Nights.
Yes.
This is an actual village and an actual island, and it is on the far outskirts of, I wrote all this down, let's see, it's the far outskirts of Kochi City, which is in Kerala, which is South India, Southwest
South India. Yeah.
And it's beautiful there. Okay. And some of the stuff they said the movie is actually true. It is the first eco-tourism village in India.
And it is beautiful.
Yeah, and in order to do that, the town realized that they had to kind of shore up the infrastructure because they were getting tourists, and things had to be a little nicer. Now, the part we're talking about is generally not considered a nice part, but it is beautiful. And it's kind of, it makes me think in a way of if Williamsburg was a working community. You know what I mean? Isn't it Williamsburg that's the colonial village that you go to and they're reenacting, here's how you churn butter, here's how you make candles. I never went, but back in my day, way back when, people would talk about going there. The families would go there. Everybody's dressed in period costume, revolutionary style, all the things. Yeah. So, yeah, this is not that exactly, because the people are still living the way they live with the hand-thrown fishing nets. There aren't the big, like, trawlers of fish coming in, even though there is, as we see in the movie, a fish factory. But I think the fish they're processing are all from these boats we see when you get the overhead shots.
Very cool.
Yeah. So so people are coming through and they're going, here's how you still make the rope that's used for carpets and mattresses. Here's how you still make these various things.
Very cool.
So it's kind of a, interesting combination of those things.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah.
That's nice. So I noticed that it is produced by Fahad Fasil and Friends.
Yeah.
Which apparently is his production house, right?
Yeah. And he's a big name in Malayalam and Tamil movies. So
Malayalam, okay. And that's the language that this is in, right?
Yes. The Malayala people. And it is it's a, this is probably diving too deep, but if you listen, if you watch a lot of Hindi movies and you watch these movies, you notice that the language sounds different.
Very,
and certainly when they were, they were showing somebody speaking like a different language, like Tamil or something, in, or instead of Malayalam or whatever. And they were having to do the subtitles for the movie for those people. And it was all in this real scripty writing, you know, very beautiful script.
Yeah.
And that's, and so the Dravidians are, they were already in South India, and the Mughals came in at the top.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like when we saw Jodha Akbar. That, let me just make sure I'm getting this right, Scott.
Jodha that it's Akbar. Mughals. Yeah. Okay.
Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just, is that, was that the same language?
No.
Okay.
No. That was Hindi. Okay. And yeah, it was the Mughals. So they came in and they were Muslims, and also just a different people. Those are the people where the, what is the Indo-European, the links between the languages are between their language and our languages. The Dravidian is completely different.
Wow.
And so when you're watching some of these historical movies, especially the ones that are from South India and just different areas of India than the northern ones, which is the Bali, that would be the Bollywood tradition. You start to see that the Mughals are the bad guys. They're coming in and trying to take over, and it's the noble so-and-sos of this province under this Maharaja who are going in to push him back from their land. in these amazing fortresses and things. So, yeah, there's this whole thing of Indian history that's like that. And we discovered this when we were on vacation in like Charleston, sitting in a public park, and a whole bunch of Indian people, a couple Indian families came, and we went, do you know any good movies? And they started talking, and they couldn't believe we'd seen some of the movies we'd seen. And this was years ago.
Oh, cool.
But suddenly somebody breaks in and starts giving this report on, no, we are from South India, and that's the Dravidians. And we got a whole history lesson right then. And it's still a live conversation. You know?
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah. Wow. Okay.
But we saw Fahad Fasil in that movie, Mahashanti Prathakaram,
okay.
Mahesh's Revenge, mm-hmm. where he had been beat up by the guy, and he said, I'm not wearing shoes until I get my revenge.
Oh, yes. Okay, great.
Yeah, that fun rom-com. And so, yeah. But this is the movie where we first saw him.
Oh.
And he's not in a sympathetic role at all, but no. I came away from that movie going, what a great actor this guy is. What else is he in?
Hmm.
So that's how we came across the movie that we've already seen.
Oh, good.
And some other ones.
Okay. Yeah.
The movie may or may not be a success if he's in it, but he's always interesting to watch.
Okay. Yeah, he was definitely interesting in this one. He was unsettling. Yep.
I know. Unsettling. In the most nuanced, mildest way until the end.
Yeah. Yeah, in the end, it like turned into a horror movie.
Yeah.
The whole tone changed. It was amazing.
We watched this, I remember, because we watched this several years ago. My mother was here and watching, and we're all watching, and it's going along, and suddenly it changes. And she turned around and looked at me and said, what's happened? What are we watching? And we all went, we don't know what's going on in this movie anymore.
Yes.
It was so surprising.
It really was, yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. So what is this movie?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This movie is about four brothers who live in a little house on an attached island, basically. I don't know. It's some piece of land that could be an island or not. I can't tell. But it's kind of on the outskirts of the town where at one point somebody talks about it and you realize this is where they dumped all their trash. Every bit of trash, human trash, everything.
Oh, boy.
And they said, no, it's been cleaned up. And you assume that's because of the ecotourism. But people will dump their animals out there. So at one point we see one of the brothers opening up a bag and it's full of kittens.
Oof.
You know, so they'll kind of rescue the animals. You don't see that much, but this is just what it's like out there. So people know them, but they don't necessarily have the greatest reputation. And we follow them from the point of the youngest brother, Frankie, who's in a boarding school. And he's going to go home, and he's not excited about it for the holidays. Or summer vacation, I assume.
He's not excited to go home to his family.
No. People are like, why aren't you happy? So good. They all have smallpox. no one can come with me. And when he gets home, you realize that as you are introduced to the brothers one at a time, that they're not really functioning as a family. They're very dysfunctional. And it's unclear why. It's not like there's one cause of why they are all drifting on their own, but none of them seem fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And some are actively unhappy.
Yeah.
And Frankie is young enough that he's not really responsible for any of this kind of thing, but he knows he's unhappy because he wants a family. And he never says it, and it's not really framed around him. He's just on the outskirts of the story. But by the end of the movie, when you're seeing his response to some of the things that have changed, you realize he was hungry for a family.
Yeah.
And I would say, from my point of view, this is what happens when you have a household of guys, for one thing.
Guys without a dad around or... Any parents, yeah. Actually, because the mom is also gone.
Right.
The dad has passed away. And the mom has gone to be a nun, I guess?
I think so. That's the implication.
Mm-hmm.
And also without any women, because you need both. A house full of women is also going to be very dysfunctional in a different way. there's going to be so much backstabbing and gossiping and hurt feelings.
But
you need both to kind of balance things out.
So I think Saji is the oldest one.
Yes.
And he seems to be trying to take the lead role.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby, I'm not sure where Bonnie falls into the age group. It's like
he's the third youngest.
He's the third youngest. Okay.
Yeah, Saji. So Saji's mother, he's the oldest, and his mother died.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, okay, and we're into spoilers if anybody cares, but I assume if you're listening, you've seen it. Mm-hmm. Bonnie, they spelled it Bonnie, but his name is Bonnie.
Okay.
And you think it's Bonaparte because the father was named Napoleon, but that's just a name the Indians have a lot, Bonnie. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's mute, and his mother had already had him. And the father brought her and Boney into the household at one point. So they got married. And then came Bobby, and then came Frankie.
Right.
And then the mother, as they said, the father died, and the mother, as they said, went the gospel way.
And the gospel way, yeah.
When Frankie gets there, he looks over at the mantelpiece, and there's a picture of Mary holding baby Jesus. And there's some candles there. And you realize this is a Christian family. And that's more common in southern India. And especially in that part of India, that's where they say Thomas the Apostle went.
Oh, yes.
And he moved across India, taking the faith to seven different towns. And
very good. So, yeah, I didn't make that connection. And last year I was reading a lot of apostle stuff. So that's neat. Oh, that's a great connection. Yeah. So thank you.
It's super cool. Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Goa is really the place where there's a lot of them. And this is kind of near enough to Goa, which is also on the coast like that. And so I was looking it up, and 40% of, let's see, was it Kumbh? Yeah, 40% of Tamil Nadu, or Kochi, I think, is Christian.
That's really cool. I remember reading that this is one of the evidences that the apostles did what it says they did, right? Because, Thomas went to India, and there was some settlements that became isolated and then later rediscovered, but they were Christians. You know,
kind of like Japan then.
Right, right. So it was like, you know, they were cut off from society or, outside influences for a while. But when they reconnected, I have no idea how many hundreds of years later. But anyway, the Christianity was still there. And I just think that's awesome.
And the part I've heard is that in the 1600s, maybe, does this sound right for the timing, the Portuguese got there and kind of, quote, discovered India.
Okay.
They basically were coming in and trading and everything. And they went, and we have a great gift for you, Christianity. And they went, no, we're already Christian.
Yeah, we're good.
And they went, what? And they went, yeah, come to our churches. And they had their own unique kind of cross. We've already got one. Yeah. They had their own unique kind of cross because Thomas is, I think, the first one to do a cross so early.
Yeah, that's neat.
And they have their own unique cross if you look it up on Wikipedia or something for the Saint Thomas cross.
I love it.
So they had it. So you'll find especially if you're just watching movies that are either set in that part or somehow the story is based there, a lot of the actors will have names like Fernandez or just regular Christian names, Western names, we would call them. Yeah.
Neat. So, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So they don't make a lot of the fact that they're Christian, but the mother did go off to be in whatever religious institution that is. It's not identifiable to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she won't leave it.
Yeah. Because at one point they do visit her.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And that was great. And I think you see immediately the tension in the family between Saji and Bobby. And again, Saji wanting to take this is what I felt was going on, but I felt like he wanted to take this father role, and the others were just not having it, they weren't accepting him in that role at all, especially Bobby. And Bobby was adrift,
real slacker,
just adrift, not really doing anything. But he knew how to press buttons. And he knew how to press Saadi's buttons, you know. And this is, you know, as brothers, you know, I have a couple myself. And I really liked all the dynamic that they had on there. And then Frankie just, again, frankly, being embarrassed, you know, at this whole situation. He was just like, man, you know, I'd much rather be somewhere else. You know, so that was an interesting thing, too.
Yeah, we have the worst house in the village, he says at one point.
Yeah,
he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Which made it really funny when fairly soon after that, the tourist, the young woman, is at the house. And she goes, you have a beautiful house. And he goes, do we?
Yeah.
Now it's been cleaned up some.
When I was watching it, I was like, that is cool. I love that house. You know, and it opens right onto the beach. And, you know, it's like, this is fantastic. And but we have the worst house. And I'm assuming that he meant not only the structure, but the situation.
Yeah, because, and of course we've strayed far away from talking what it's about, because it's about these four brothers figuring things out and figuring out, working their way toward, through some of their problems, and in doing that, remembering why they love each other and becoming a family. And the great thing is, this stuff isn't articulated, really.
Yes.
We're shown, not told. So it's really great to watch. And then at the same time, there's this subplot with this other household where, and this is the Fahad Fasil role we were talking about, where it is one of them, Bobby, begins dating a girl named Baby. You know, who knows? Maybe it's her nickname, but it's stuck. Mm-hmm. And Baby's sister is fairly early on in an arranged marriage, you pick up. You just, you know, because they're so awkward together, to this man who's not from those parts, and his mother is living with them. And his household looks like a perfect Western household. I mean, Leave It to Beaver could be taped there. Western furniture, all this stuff. And he spends a lot of his time looking in the mirror and taking care of his glorious mustache, and it is truly glorious.
Yep.
And
it's a beaut.
Yeah, but kind of doing a little self-talk about, you're just like this star, or he calls it hero, but he means big movie star. You're a man just like this guy. And so what you start to realize is he's working really hard on being a perfect man, as he sees it, being the ideal man. And the problem is he doesn't have, it's not coming from the heart. He's not expressing himself and being genuine. He doesn't know how to do it or relate to people. He's just putting on the role. And because he's putting on the role, everything is very rigid, because he doesn't know how to express anything in any other way. I guess, does that sound right to you?
Yeah, it does. I'm not sure where he's getting his information, but there's no other male around in his household. So that's an interesting contrast, you know. Here's a man
Living with all these women.
Yeah, with all these women, and he's, you know, again, like Saadi, he's trying to be the man, you know, the one in charge or whatever. But it's a direct contrast with Saadi, who has some stuff to learn as well.
It's a different
deal.
Yeah, because this guy is, his name is Shammy. Shammy, he has got, you don't know why, because nobody's talking about this stuff. They're just living their lives. But he's super mean. He's not obviously mean, but like when the kids kick the soccer ball into the yard, they're all afraid to go get it. And when we first see him, his wife is watching, so he's a lot nicer, you feel like, than he would be otherwise. Later on, one of them goes and finds another soccer ball that was kicked into the yard, and it has been stabbed onto a spike as if it was somebody's head. Really just mean. He's not going to let the kids have their ball. It shouldn't be in the yard. They should be playing cricket, he tells them. So.
Yeah, mean the guy.
Yeah, his performance is so nuanced. He's just weird enough without being obviously weird, so we don't know how to take him, and also neither does anyone around him. His wife always seems a little nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. And remind me, who is baby to Shammy?
His wife's sister.
Okay, so sister-in-law. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Bobby and Bobby and baby start to date, they go to Shammy for permission to marry, and he's like, "No, I don't like your family." Yeah.
Well, at first though, he gets the older brother to go. Bobby gets Tsuji.
Yeah, Tsuji.
I've lost Tsuji to go.
Yeah.
And he's polite, but still threatening, because then you realize he talks as if he's so much greater than everyone.
Yeah.
He's a barber.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people shaves and cuts their hair. Now, in the social structure, that may be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a fisherman out there just throwing a net and stinking mm-hmm. with fish at the end of the day. But he gives him a shave with a straight razor, and we're all nervous watching it.
Oh, very, yeah. That was a great scene. And then also there was a great scene where Tsuji went to him. They were at a wedding or something?
Yeah, it was Bobby's friend who was getting married.
And so Tsuji, as the leader of his family, mm-hmm. goes to Shammy and says, "Can we discuss this?" And that was quite a scene. I mean, Fahad Fasil, it was chilling, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just leans to his wife and says, "Do you want to tell him, or do you want me to tell him?"
That's his mother.
Or his mother, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
"Do you want me to tell him, or do you want to tell him?" And then she does it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it was so effective. That was amazing. And the look on Saji's face and the look on Shammy's face, you know, it was all something else.
This is just full of great actors, and those two are two of the best ones in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Because they're clearly, I mean, Bobby has a major story to tell, Boney and Frankie less so, but Tsuji has also a very complex story to tell.
Yeah, very.
And he and Shammy are in direct opposition, as you say, as they're both the heads of their households, whether other people acknowledge it or not, they're the oldest males. That's mm-hmm. how it is.
Yeah.
And this is the third time I've seen it, and since I knew I was going to be talking to you, I was watching it specifically, watching those two, just going, oh my gosh, what great actors. But also, they're both doing something complicated. Those characters are both working through things. We don't see Shammy because he's not doing that much work, but Tsuji.
Yeah.
Because Tsuji is Bobby, older. He's a slacker. He has an ironing business.
Mm-hmm.
Where they set up the ironing board and people bring them stuff in the village. So this is how small the village is, really. And but we see him. He's sitting in the shade talking, saying, "Let's shut up shop and go get something at the bar." And finally, later on, he says, "Oh, this one guy, my brother said that, you know, I treat you badly." And he goes, "We know that was so silly." And the friend goes, "Look, when my wife and I eloped, you took us in." And of course, to elope like that against your parents' wishes, not done.
Yeah.
Cast out. And if they could find you, they would likely kill you.
Yeah.
There's a really interesting, great movie, but hard to watch, that we saw about that. And it was about caste, and it was tough. And that's how they really live it. So when he said, "You took us in, so you treated us like family in a way no one would." And he goes, "But your brother's right. You don't treat me well." And it came at a terrible time after a bunch of other bad stuff.
Yeah.
And then Saji's like, "That's it. I'm killing myself."
Yeah.
And he would have died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But his friend saved him, and in saving him,
yeah,
lost his own life.
He lost his own life saving Tsuji, and now Tsuji had that to carry with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
his wife was going to have a baby any day.
Yeah, the guy
not
who Tsuji, died.
The friend, Vijay.
Yeah, the Vijay's wife.
Vijay.
So it is kind of amazing how Tsuji made it through that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than curl up in a ball or try to kill yourself again or anything, he took the wife in, got her to the hospital, baby was born, and then he brings her home, and the house changes, you know? She's there, and then Bonnie has a girlfriend that he met, an American girl,
mm-hmm.
that he brings home. And now suddenly, Frankie is smiling.
He loves it. He is just hanging around those women
yeah.
with a big smile.
That, right. It's like the entire house changes. And yeah. Saji was changed deeply by the experience, you know. And yeah, now all this bickering and stuff, you know, like Saji is, you know, he went to Shammy to ask for baby's hand in marriage for Bobby. Mm-hmm. You know, they're growing closer as well.
Right.
Acting more as a family ought, you know.
Well, the fact that Bobby asked him to do it, you know, he stood there and went, hold on a minute. And he's like, I think I have to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Bobby didn't want to do that, but this is what you do.
Yeah.
If you're going to get married, you have to get your oldest male relative to go ask. And mm-hmm. and you're right. These various things draw them together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even just having, you know, to have a woman and a baby in the household. And I noticed when Saji was bringing the mother and the baby across, they showed her and she was dressed and imposed strikingly yeah. like the Mary and baby yeah. Jesus picture that we see at the
too.
Beginning.
I caught yeah. that too. It, yeah. Same thing. Yep.
Yeah.
yeah. And one it was point, like grace is coming, right? Grace yeah. is coming. Yep.
Well, and at the end when it's all falling apart and Shammy won't let baby marry into that family and everybody's upset by various things like that. And the mother, the friend's dead friend's wife says, my mother cursed me when I left to get married and that curse is still following me. And I need to leave this household because I'm bringing the curse on you. It will never leave me. And that's when, was it Frankie? No, or Bobby,
mm-hmm.
who looks back and says, there is nothing good in this household already. You're in the perfect place. You can't make anything any worse.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she must have listened because she stayed. Because yeah. they're like, she's leaving tomorrow.
Yeah. That was cool. And Bobby's first reaction was interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
He gets his two brothers in there, Saji and Boney, in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And tells them, hey, tomorrow morning, all these women need to be out of here. And he was completely ignored, right? Well, Boney gave him, you know, just, you know, Boney's mute, right? So
mm-hmm.
he took something out of his pocket. I didn't quite catch what that was.
Yeah, me either.
But it was just, you know, like coin. Brothers were just smiling at you and saying, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, dude. You know, wasn't being listened to. And then, you know, I think he realized what was going on too. And he very quickly took to them all. Yeah.
But think of the reason, I think, because I've seen it more than once, I think the reason he was actually saying that is he was trying to live up to what was expected by Shammy.
Yes.
He said, you have Good to point. Have a decent That's place right. for her to live.
That's
you
right.
have to have, you know, a job. So he went to work in that awful fish factory. Mm-hmm. And the thing That's is right. is that
yeah.
Bonnie mm-hmm. and the girl, she had been staying in an extra room or a little detached room
mm-hmm.
at Baby and Shammy's house, right? Mm-hmm. They took her in for money. The tourists can live in these various places, right? So yeah. it's like a B&B. And so he caught her because he's the worst. He was being a peeping Tom mm-hmm. through this hole in the wall at what was she doing in her bedroom? Well, she had Boney in there. And mm-hmm. we didn't see anything, but they heard something break when he was watching. Mm-hmm. And he was then righteously outraged and kicked them both out. This is the rule. You can't have a local in with you.
Yeah.
And it was the rule. But because it was that girl and Boney, I think also that's when Bobby went, she can't be here.
Mm.
We have to have a respectable household. And also yeah. to have that woman there. Remember somebody said she ran away a week after, with somebody else a week after her husband died? And baby went, no, they were good friends. He's taking care of her. But this is the outside way it looks. So he's trying to clean his act up.
Good point.
And then
point.
He discovers yeah. it won't matter.
I think you're absolutely 100% right. And then
yeah.
it wasn't long after that Bobby quit the job It's like he just decided that pleasing Shammy was no way to live, I guess.
It was killing his soul, and she mm-hmm. says, why don't you just fish? He catches that fish with his foot.
Yeah, he does, yep. That was after he quit, right?
Yeah, she says, you're a great fisherman. Why mm-hmm. don't you be a fisherman? And he goes, I will. And he is going home in his boat, and he comes across Saji, and he says, let's go fishing. And they both like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is what we'll do. We'll fish for a living.
Saji was already... He was on his way, yeah. He throws the net over because he's out, you know, on the water. It's not like he mm-hmm. went and got it from a shed or something. He had it already with him, and off they went, and that was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that moment, you know.
It was beautiful.
And then I love the moment, I'm sure we're about to get to the ending, but the brothers coming together at the end.
Oh, yes.
You know, is like Bobby's... So Shammy has basically taken people hostage in his house, and he's like, no one's leaving.
Snapped.
Yeah, he snapped, and it turned into a horror movie. Like I said, there was all these, you know, horror angles and everything. It mm-hmm. changed into a horror movie. So he's got the women in his house basically tied up and on the floor. Bobby is trying to call Baby. She won't answer. So... He said, you know, I've tried to call. I've got to go over there. And then
because they're going to elope the next day.
Yeah, they were going to elope the next day, which is why Shammy lost his mind.
Yeah, and she has told her sister, and her sister tells the husband.
Why did she do that?
Oh, but she obviously didn't. Well, yeah, and it's like, oh, my gosh. Yeah,
that was
and
not
he
a
just,
good choice.
Yeah, he snaps. Well, and the funny thing was the way it manifested itself, he just went and after they had a fight, and she's like, I'm not doing it. I'm doing whatever I want. Don't you tell me what to do and don't yell at me. And the wife wouldn't let him yell at her either. And he goes, I'm like her brother. And she goes, no matter a brother, no brother's yelling either.
Mm-hmm.
The wife says. And this is the only time we've seen her stand up to him. And he goes and just stands in this corner, facing the corner with his head down, just motionless. And the sister calls the family, the brother who we saw at the very beginning, who would not come in and see the brother and have breakfast with him. And then you look back and go, oh. And he says, she's acting really strange. And he goes, oh. She goes, we had a fight. And he goes, oh, is he standing in a corner or something like that? And she goes, yeah. And he goes, don't mention it to him when he stops standing in the corner, and I'll be over tomorrow.
Right.
And so you're like, oh. You already knew he was a weirdo. I get it. And then he just snaps. He gets up in the middle of the night and he burns the tennis racket that the wife used to smack on the table and get everybody's attention to make him stop fighting. He burns it. And then you're like, what's going on?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
And he's going around just with this smile on his face. And it's not even a creepy smile. It's his regular smile, which was always kind of off. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's when we went,
so well done. So well done. Scary as heck.
Yeah.
So back at the brother's house, Boney actually tells him, call one more time, right? Even though Boney's mute, he didn't say it out loud, but through one of his brothers.
Sign language.
And as he said that, he is tying his hair up.
Yeah.
And that, I was very prideful. I was like, you go, man, you go.
Yeah.
And then because Frankie is really young, they tell him to stay, but Frankie doesn't stay. Of course he's not going to stay, you know, so it was awesome.
Thank goodness,
It was great, you know, and then they
needed all four of them.
They all three, you know, Frankie's taking his own boat, you know, because they don't know, but those three just, you know, row over to this house and, it was great. It was great. You know, they had each other and...
oh, my gosh. Yeah. And who knew that Shammy would be such an effective fighter? I mean, he was using everything around the house. And he had a surprising number of lethal-looking things around the house.
Yes.
Big screws, like, for boats and his straight razor and all this stuff. Yeah. And these brothers are obviously not used to really fighting somebody in this way. He takes Bobby out right away, so it's the two other brothers. And then he goes and throws his shoes off the porch so nobody will know he was ever there.
Yes, and
that's when the brothers go, crap.
That was when they sprung into action. You know, they saw him toss the shoes out, and they're like, okay, it's on. you know.
Yeah, they open the door and he's dragging somebody in, or maybe that's when Bobby comes in.
Yeah.
And you can see there's some female feet as he's dragging somebody into the bedroom. You're like, oh no.
Yeah, but it was great. It was so great, you know, and they won the day. It wasn't easy, but they won the day.
Oh, no, and they didn't quit. But the perfect point was the fact that he was so proud of what he did and everything. He's going after people with his straight razors, part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They come in, and they use their tools to subdue him, which is the fishing net, the throwing fishing net.
Frankie comes in with the perfect fishing net toss.
Yeah, he says, you go get this, says the brother. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just... Yeah, I mean, I was full of emotion. It was just like, yes, it was just great. And again, you know, how they all pulled together. This movie just has a lot to say about men.
That's why I thought you might really like it.
Yeah,
I loved it.
I really did. I absolutely loved it. And you know, all these men in all these different roles, and you know, coming together at the right moment, fighting often, you know, amongst each other. What's important, you know, finally you get to the top of the mountain where the most important thing takes over. And, you know, they all grow through that. And you just imagine that their lives are much better after this.
And they kind of show it. And first of all, though, I also really like the part where Bobby is holding Baby in his arms after they've hauled the women out from under the bed, because he's been knocked out and he's lying there and he opens his eyes and he's looking, facing under the bed, and he's like, what's, there's three women all tied up under the bed. And he frees the mother's mouth and she goes, he's very sick, call the police. Because they're trussed up, ready to go. And but when they're letting everybody out after the fight, and he's holding Baby in his arms, and she's got a black eye, and she's all beat up, and she just looks at him, and a smile on her face. It's just this little, he's so trusting, and then she shuts her eye, and he's looking at her, and he's just, the look on his face was so beautiful. You know, he wasn't even smiling, he was just serious, but you could see how much he truly realized he loved her.
Yeah.
And he, you know, as he's stroking the hair away from her face, and she just shuts her eyes in thankfulness. And that's it. You're just like, oh my gosh. And then, so then later they show them and they're around the house, right? Isn't that how it ends? They're having dinner. They're doing things.
Yeah. I mean, talking about the very, very end.
Yeah. It's a united family.
Right. A united family. Yep.
Laughing, having conversations over dinner. They're all sitting. They've got the candle lit in front of the father's picture with the flowers, which there's always flowers on any, doesn't matter, Indian, Hindi, whatever, Hindu, whatever. But they're in harmony.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
I don't know if that American girl will stay, but at least she's the least important of all of them.
Right. Yep. She's passing through probably. But It's amazing, you know. I was in a discussion earlier this week about you know, suffering and the value of it, you know, which is something that, you know, some people cringe that we Catholics say that, you know, there's purpose to it, you know, and it's like the grace that comes when you grow through that. It's like if you don't go through anything, you're not growing. And, you know, the growth that occurs through them going through what they just went through, was amazing. You know, when you look at Saji, Saji, I mean, what a horrible thing he went through. I mean, he was killing himself and then someone else died. I mean, you just think about that. Someone else died trying to save me from killing myself. How on earth do you carry that around?
Yeah.
Right. But then growing through it and finding grace and finding purpose and meaning is what he got out of that whole situation, you know.
And think about it. He wound up doing the same thing that his father did. His father brought home Boney and his mother.
Oh, how about that?
He's bringing home this baby.
Yeah, that's great.
Boy or girl and the mother.
Yes.
Yeah,
we have difficulties, but that would be a heavy burden. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and it's kind of like, we talk about suffering, but people don't have as much of a problem saying somebody worked to reach a hard goal, that they struggled through it and that helped them grow. Nobody minds that. It's the suffering, we can see the bad part more. But both of them really are the same thing. It's struggling to keep going through to achieve the goal at the end. You know, whether it's because of suffering or because of, you know, I don't know, hard day at work or, you know, a difficult job, but it must be done or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And these guys do it. And to me, this time through, you're right, because we see those growing moments of them pulling together. But the time you really see it begin is after they've left the mother, who they said, can't you come home for a few days? I've asked someone to marry me. This other Frankie's home. And they were sitting around this table in this restaurant going, she wouldn't even leave for 10 days, and she could. What kind of a mother is that?
Yeah.
And Saji says, you don't know the suffering she's gone through. I've seen it, so I can't blame her. But they're all sitting there pulling together with the fact that they've been abandoned. It doesn't matter whether you blame her because she suffered. They are suffering now because their mother has rejected them.
Yes.
And and that's kind of what starts the feeling of fellowship, I think, between them. And he's like, well, then we have, doesn't Saji at that point say, we're no better? We don't support each other? We're not there for each other either, like, and we need to. And he doesn't exactly say we need to do it, but he's like, "This is also our problem," and it's kind of like a little bit of an awakening for everybody.
Yeah, that it is. But you're right. You know, he said something. I don't remember everything that he said. Yeah. But yes.
But he's they're also taking responsibility at that point, or at least thinking about it.
Right.
Frankie's the only one who's pretty innocent of it, as far as we can see, because he's just the kid.
Yeah. He hasn't had time yet.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But he wants them to come together. Yeah.
He does. He wants it more than anything.
Wants a real family. He wants
a family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we all want. We all want a happy family. We can struggle, but the family, you know, there's a reason God made the family the cornerstone. It's where you learn everything. It's where you learn how to sacrifice for people you love. It's where you learn how to accept what people give you.
Yeah.
It's where you have to learn how to forgive and to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn how to ask for forgiveness. And we're watching this family go through learning, or maybe just remembering all these things.
Yep, indeed. Yeah. You know, they show signs of it, you know, even throughout the movie. And then, boy, it just kind of coalesces. And then I love that you're pointing out, you know, that moment with their mom who, you know, she is basically, no, I'm not coming. I'm not leaving here. And then it's like, okay, what now? And what now is they all stepped up, you know, they all.
Yeah.
It's like they grew. Their heart grew three sizes that day.
No one knows what happened. Well, and I suddenly remembered the very end of the movie. The very end of the movie is the huge lit up heart that says, Bobby weds baby.
Right, right.
And that's right. It's like the one that Bobby's friend had. And everything's lit up, and then it shows them, and because he'd been trying to kiss her. And she's like, no, then we better get married.
Yeah,
you can't kiss my neck. You can't do it. No, that's not proper.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they go through those problems. And she's like, well, then what happened to true love? Are we going to get married or aren't we? Right. So that's what starts the whole sequence of events of, you know, having to ask for permission. But so what we see at the end is, because she was like, I also want this, but I'm afraid. And he's also awkward. He's never kissed anyone because that's just not a thing you do in India, especially in a small fishing village. It's after marriage stuff. And so they are in the bed together. We're just with their clothes on top of the bed. And he says, are you afraid anymore? And she says, no. And then something comes sliding under the door, and it's a tiny package wrapped, and he unwraps it, and it's condoms. And Saji shouts the door, and he says, Bonnie wants you to know that we have enough population in this house already. And everybody just starts laughing.
Yes, that's it.
Because they're all outside and they're seeing the guests off. And who would think when you started this, they're having a wedding. All these people came. Mm-hmm. It's a happy evening. They could never have done that at the beginning. Mm.
Wow. Very true.
Yeah.
Yep. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a movie. I mean, that's just awesome. Yeah. Really felt good at the end of that.
And there are some good happy moments throughout the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all angst and everything, but that's the essence of what's going on in these people's lives. And you're right. And at the end, I was just so happy.
Hmm.
I was so happy. It made me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, me too.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, felt great. Good for them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm just looking here to see. I don't think we have seen the actress who plays Baby. Her name is Anna Benn.
No, I haven't seen her.
Yep, I haven't seen her before.
No.
So I'm just making sure. I don't always remember when some of the stuff we watched.
Yeah. When we saw this movie, we hadn't seen anybody in it. Mm. And the only reason I'm able to point out Fahad Fasil, because we were so amazed by what he did.
Mm-hmm.
His acting job, and that's when we started looking him up and went, oh, we haven't watched very many of these movies. He's big. He's a big actor. He's, to me, he's like Irfan Khan.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see in another movie we'll talk about later, but we've seen him before.
Cool.
And he was in the movie where Amitabh Bachchan has to take his toilet chair with him when he's going to go back to his town. He's the one who's renting the cars to the family the whole time. Piku.
Piku, okay. Yep. Yep.
I didn't realize she was...
This is the most amazing thing. I mean, I'm in here on IMDb looking him up. He has 19 upcoming movies.
That's my guy.
19. Oh, yeah. There's like pre-production, you know, and post-production. Oh, my goodness gracious.
That's India for you, though. Yeah. I mean, you know, the big stars, it's changing a little bit, but when we started watching, you know, which was, what, 2016, 2017, must have been 2017 or 18. Anyway, when we started watching, these huge stars were making 6 movies a year.
Mm.
They put American stars to shame.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, granted, some of them aren't the greatest movies or the greatest actors, but, you know, even the really good ones. And so, Irfan Khan we saw in Piku.
Yep.
And he was renting the cars and everything. And we'll see him later in Bulu Barber. But he is, and we may have seen him in some other stuff. I can't remember right now. But he's, to me, he died of a brain tumor when COVID was just getting started. It was just so sad. But he's one of the greatest actors from Bollywood of this generation. He was just so good. And to me, Fahad Fasil is the same thing. Just really great actor.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great. Yep. He was so good in this. Yep.
Yeah.
Very, very. Yep. I love it. I love it. Yep. Deepika Padukone. Padukone.
Padukone.
Padukone. But, okay.
Yeah. She's married to Ranveer Singh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Another friend of the pod.
Another friend of the pod for sure.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
So.
Very good. Very good.
Anyway.
Well, fun. Yeah. And the next Indian movie we have is called Bulu Barber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a few episodes down the line, but it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it is coming, and it'll be very different. It's definitely a Bollywood movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about essentially about a couple of guys, but much more a small village and much more, but very different from this, but this movie was much more Western feeling, just kind of in the same way that Mahesh's Revenge was, but the setting and all the culture and customs are, you know, of course, so different. But there's no singing and dancing, and it's just telling the story.
Okay.
But artfully.
Yeah, no singing or dancing in this one either.
Well, no, that's what I meant in this one.
I thought you were talking about Bulu Barber. Okay.
No. Oh, no. Bulu Barber. we are going to enjoy many amazing musical dancing numbers.
Very good.
Shah Rukh Khan.
All right.
King Khan at the center of that.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't know.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are we, what's next?
What's next for us is Dance Hall of the Dead.
Oh.
By Tony Hillman.
My book.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's great. And I'm assuming that's a, what is it, a Jim Chi? Is that what they call it? It's Joe a mystery. Leaphorn? Joe Leaphorn. Okay. Yep.
Jim Chi's the younger
Navajo
one.
Right? Navajo?
Yeah. Joe Leaphorn's the older one, maybe?
Okay.
This is like the second or third of his books. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah. And it's also about a very different culture and religion in that culture and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. But a mystery out there on the reservation.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
The Navajo police.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Yep. Leaphorn and Chi. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Very good. I've read something. I haven't read this book, but I've read one of his, at least. And I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's not coming to me. But we'll have it. We'll have it. Yeah.
I went through and read at the time when they were kind of coming out. He wrote a lot of these books.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Hillerman did. And at the time they were coming out, I read a few of them and enjoyed them. And we rediscovered this, or him, when we were coming back from Palo Duro Canyon in Texas, where we went last year. And there were all kinds of Tony Hillerman books. And I was like, wrong part of the country, but okay, I get the connection for a regular American mind. And so we downloaded this one and listened to it as we were driving across Texas to go somewhere to go to Alpine. And so I was so struck by it. I will say this. It's not like the mystery is that hard. Although my husband couldn't guess it, but maybe I've read too many mysteries, or maybe I remembered reading it somewhere deep in my subconscious. I felt like it was kind of obvious, but the story is so good.
Mm.
The characters are so interesting. What they have to go through to find out for sure who's doing all this stuff is amazing.
Very good.
Yeah, we'll have stuff to talk about.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
Very much.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, and hopefully for watching the movie if you made it this far.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yep, thanks again for the movie. Another good one.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad you liked it.
All right, well, we'll see you all in a couple weeks.
Yeah, talk to you again soon.
All right, bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.